This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast. I think we're getting old. There we go. And now I know we got Ted on the phone. Let that simmer for a little bit. Do we welcome you back in on a Football Friday? Texans, Patriots. Yeah, oh, yeah. That's Rush, all right. Texans, Patriots. Noon kick. Seth and I got you for pregame at 9 a.m. You can hear it all on Sports Radio 610. This guy did some Texans radio back in the day. He's up in Boston now. You can find him a few mornings a week on 100.7 WZLX. That's a classic rock station. If anybody oozes classic rock and football, it is our next guest. He is on the hotline. He is our good friend. He's our former colleague. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion. He is Ted Johnson. Teddy J, what's going on, dude?
Hey, what's up, you guys? Sean, Seth. It is good to talk to you boys. And, yes, we've already we played a Rush song already in today's show, so I always appreciate the intro. But they just – I couldn't believe it when I got an invitation to come work here. I was like, wait, a classic rock station turned to sports talk? Just the morning show. So 2 days a week, so it fits my schedule really nice. The good thing is, guys, is the studio is literally 2.5 miles from my house. So it takes me about 7 minutes to get to work, which is a nice little thing to have when you have to be at work by 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you know what, Ted? Yeah, like we need to clarify because the way that Sean – who, by the way, has already botched one thing this morning. We do a circle of swarm, and Sean botched that. I feel like the way Sean presented that, it's like that your full-time job is now rock DJ. Are you now a full-time rock DJ?
Couldn't be further from the opposite, except these. Okay. I am not, but I work, but my producer, my great producer, Kenny Young, he's kind of a rock DJ. So I'm around rock DJs a lot though now, Seth. So like, you know, the voices and the intros, and they talk while the music's playing as they're introducing the song. It takes a certain skill set to kind of do rock station versus sports talk. So the two are so different. It's been fun to kind of see the difference.
That'd be hard for me because you and I both have memories, from childhood of trying to record your favorite song on a cassette tape, and the damn DJ starts talking right at the end. Yeah, and now all of a sudden you're part of that world.
That's my world now, bud. It's odd. I mean, good kind of side benefits to this job is I pretty much can get tickets to any concert that ever comes to Boston. And that's a nice little kind of feather in the cap, too, working here for iHeart.
Always working all the angles. I like it. Ted Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Johnson joining us. All right, Teddy. So we got the Texans and the Patriots. This is new territory here for both of these teams. The Texans, who have never won at Gillette Stadium, going up to New England now as a touchdown favorite. So we'll get into some of the details of where the Patriots are and so forth, but just what's been the general chatter about this game? How much are the Patriots on the radar right now up there in Boston? Give us the lay of the land up there with this game.
Well, it's this game, you know, look, the tone and tenor of this game changed for people here on Tuesday. And this past Tuesday, and you go, well, what happened past Tuesday? Well, the Patriots announced that Drake May, who was the third overall pick, the Patriots' first-round draft pick, is going to start his first NFL game against the Houston Texans. And so this game was really, you know, when you consider how bad the season's been and particularly how bad the Patriots played last Sunday versus Miami, the fan interest has waned here. It has the last few years, but it really felt like, you know, just more and more people, that apathy was really setting in. And that is terrifying to the ownership here. And I feel like, you know, partly the decision to play Drake May was, it wasn't, I don't think, 100% a football decision. I think definitely PR and the owner had a role in this decision as well, because how bad it's been. Just really, I think there was, no one really expected the Patriots to have this, you know, a great season, make the playoffs, but you were hoping to see signs of life and maybe, you know, something that was different than what you saw here in the last 4 years without Tom Brady. And then at the end of the Bill Belichick era, you're kind of hoping you would see a better product. And you really have seen a team that got off to a good start when they, in week one, beating the Cincinnati Bengals. But it has just been really, ever since then, it has been just awful, an awful product to watch. And so I think a lot of what, you know, the announcement coming in on Tuesday with Drake May starting was PR as well as football. And so that has kind of bumped up the interest in this game a little bit, is just the fact that Drake May is starting. But no one here really feels real confident about our chances. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows how, it's amazing, guys. Like, I was down in, you know, Houston for those 8 years that I did radio with you guys. And, you know, it was kind of like, the Texans wanted to be what the Patriots are. And now it feels like it's reversed. I mean, we're citing how what the Texans are doing and how we wish we could be the Texans. So it's just a strange, strange dynamic for me.
Yeah, it's a damn shame is what it is.
with Drake, I know you're all beat up about it.
I can hardly sleep. So Drake May, though, himself, what did you see from him in the preseason? Then it's always interesting these days when you draft a guy number 3 overall and you choose not to start him immediately. Was that because it felt like Drake May wasn't quite ready yet, or was it just a bad circumstance because of the offensive line, et cetera?
It was really more of your first point, Seth. Although I think your second point definitely played a factor. It was, I mean, in all the pre-draft hype and information that was out there, I think pretty much every, you know, experts said that, you know, Drake was a project, you know, that, you know, he's a guy that needed some marinating. He needed to play a guy, you know, right out of the chute, who's never been in a huddle, doesn't call his own plays, never took a ball under center. Like, you know, it's like he's never had to regurgitate a play in a huddle before, you know, and he's never really taken snaps under center. And, you know, the Alex Van Pelt offense, West Coast offense, you're under center. You have these long kind of plays that you got to spit out. And so, you know, and then the other big thing on him was his footwork. He needed a lot of work. So all those things were kind of like what we heard about, you know, before the draft. And then the draft comes, they draft him. And then that was what all they've been telling us, is that it was going to take time. Well, I think the timeline for him to start has been expedited. I don't think they did not want to play him this early, but I think what they're seeing is just a team that's just way, way worse than they thought, way worse than they anticipated. And so it's kind of forced their hand, and they're putting a kid out there, guys, honestly, that's probably not ready for what's about to happen, but they just feel like there's, you know, they have nowhere else to go. And part of the problem is I'm trying to think who's the team that, much like the Miami Dolphins, you know, didn't have a better backup plan for Tua, you know, a guy that's had a history of concussions. You should have probably planned for that if you're the Miami Dolphins better. The Patriots really didn't have a better plan to back up Jacoby Brissett. If they didn't want to play Drake May, they never went and got a better quality veteran backup to back up Jacoby and then really put Drake in that 3 spot. They had Drake May backing up Jacoby Brissett when they knew the offensive line was horrendous, when they knew the receivers were terrible, when they knew they had all a new coaching staff that had never coached, been official coaches of their positions. And so, you know, they should have had a better plan. They didn't. And so now here we are, Drake May starting, you know, week 6 with an offensive line that is just like a papier-mâché offensive line and receivers that are having trouble getting open and running the wrong route. So they couldn't put him in a worse spot. But everybody pretty much saw this coming, that he was going to take time. I just think, who knows what we're going to get. Everyone's trying to figure out what offense are we going to see. Are we going to see his college offense, or are we going to see the Alex Van Pelt offense? And so I don't know if it's going to be a hybrid or what. So we're all curious to see what that looks like. And you'll see it for the first time as well as us on Sunday.
You know, okay, so you're telling me all that stuff, Ted, and things that, like, as a Texans fan, I should get excited about all of that. And yet, as Sean pointed out earlier, one of his better moments in this show, the Texans,
I love it.
The Texans have never won at Foxborough. The average margin of defeat is 18 points. It's been rough up there. So I think I can speak for most Texans fans as they're listening to you say all those things about how dire a situation it is, how bad Drake May is set up to fail, all of this other stuff. There's a part of me that I can't even get excited about it. Like, so paint me a picture. Paint me a picture of what it looks like for the Patriots to pull off an upset in this game. What do we need to worry about? Like, what do they do well right now?
Seth, I don't know if, you know, I can tell you what they've done well at spurts, but they really, both sides of the ball. I mean, really, this offense was supposed to, look, if you had to say one thing, is running the ball and stopping the run. But they haven't really even been doing that well recently. But that's really what the Patriots kind of wanted to hang their hat on and really got off to a good start. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson, probably their best player on offense. He hasn't practiced all week. He's got a undisclosed injury. So I don't know what the status is for him in this game. But it was really, it really is running the football, which – You can chew up a lot of clock and maybe have some ball control with that. But, you know, it's not helping with scoring points. And if you get behind it all, that doesn't help you. And so in the Patriots defense, a lot of people thought this was going to be a top five defense. Please, it's not even close. I mean, Seth, I mean, I would, if I'm a Texans fan, all those, stats that you rattled off, I mean, I'm guessing that the margin of victory and not winning up here ever, it was all when Tom Brady was here and Bill Belichick. Those two, Belichick, he's not here, obviously. You know, Tom's been gone for 4 years. It's a totally different New England Patriots. This feels like the late 80s, early 90s Patriots. And by the way, they're going to be wearing their throwback uniform. So it's going to give all these fans here this weird awful feeling of like 1990 when they won one game, right?
Hey,
and so
Ted,
it's awful timing to wear these throwback jerseys. Like, oh my god, with against a team that's clearly better than you, in your first start with a quarterback, it's just going to bring a lot of memories of the horrible teams that this team was in the late 80s, early 90s.
What number?
We're gonna honor
what,
Hugh Millen at the
Steve Grogan. Yeah, like what number does
Zolak's going to come out of the booth?
What number does Drake May wear, Ted? What's his jersey number?
He wears number 10, which an old quarterback it was named Sequels. Sequels. He was horrible, number 10. Back in the day in the throwback.
He should wear Sequels on his back.
Tony Eason. Wasn't Tony Eason 10?
He was 11. I remember that. He was 11.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to bring back a lot of bad memories. And so Texans fans can relax. Unless the Texans just are sleepwalking and go out, ripping it up in Providence the night before, this really should be no contest because it's the offensive line versus your defensive line. We got a new center, who just was horrendous in his first start last week. We lost our starting center, who was probably our best offensive lineman, to an injury. And so, it should be feasting time for that Texans defense.
Ted Johnson is joining us, three-time Super Bowl champ, obviously our former colleague here at Sports Radio 610. He's on the radio up in Boston now. Ted, I'm curious, given the fact that when it seems like once Nick Caserio left the building up there, the Patriots started doing much different things personnel-wise. They spent like crazy in free agency 1 year. They've not been very good drafting. They are where they are right now because things haven't been good in terms of roster construct. And meanwhile, Nick has been the main catalyst behind building the team that's going to take the field on Sunday that's 4-1. What's been the talk up there in New England? How does Caserio fit into all these storylines when it comes to the New England Patriots?
It's weird. Nick isn't getting brought up. I think they're just so worried about the current front office structure and the dynamics and the power struggles that's going on between the head coach and what we all believe is maybe a difference of opinions with our general manager, and director of player personnel, which is what I think Nick's role was here. There is just it's, you know, Nick's name should be brought up because I think Nick Caserio was a huge kind of had a at least he had the ear of Bill Belichick, and I think he had some influence with Bill Belichick. And I think when Bill had Nick Caserio here in the front office helping him scout guys, I think Bill was better at drafting. I really do. And so I think, you know, and that was kind of it. That was a big kind of, you know, thing that we pointed to for the decline in the Patriots, even when Bill Belichick was here, was the brain drain that was going on with a lot of scouts and just front office people were leaving to get better jobs for a million different reasons. And that really was impacting, Bill Belichick and his ability to evaluate talent and to bring good players in. So even though it hasn't been a big topic, I will tell you, I think it definitely there's a huge kind of, void when Nick Caserio left here. So, you know, I think it started out a little rocky there with Nick, but, you know, you look at some of the kind of the aggressive forward-thinking moves he's made, trading for Stephon Diggs. Like, those were kind of things that we did in the mid-2000s that helped us with our dynasty that they just don't do anymore. They're risk-averse. And, you see kind of what the effects of that has been here. It hasn't been good.
You know, you said something earlier that piqued my interest, and it was about Bob Kraft and perhaps him being alarmed at how apathetic the fans got, like, seemingly very quickly. So Bob Kraft and Jerry Jones have always had a kind of a rivalry, and there have always been reports that, you know, Bob Kraft feels like Jerry Jones gets a lot of more credit than Bob does, and he should get credit for this, that, the other. Is that part of – do you get any sense that Bob Kraft is looking at the way the Patriots are being perceived right now and realizing, like, oh, wow, Jerry's team is always relevant even when they're not that good, and my team is just kind of falling into by the wayside and nobody's paying attention to him?
Without a doubt, Seth. He would never want – he would never admit it, but we all know. I mean, Robert Kraft is – you know, behind the scenes, there's been people that have been trying to really kind of bolster his candidacy for Hall of Fame. He wants to be in the Hall of Fame. He would never say it publicly that he thinks he should be in the Hall of Fame, but I guarantee privately he thinks that, and he doesn't like the fact that Jerry Jones is and not him. You know, he thinks if you look at the Patriots, 10-part docuseries that came out this last offseason, Kraft had a big hand in what was put into that documentary, and the angle is, I think Robert Kraft sees himself as a big reason that we won six Super Bowls here. That's how he sees himself. He doesn't see himself as an owner that just, owns the team. He sees himself as the reason, partly the reason that we won all those championships. So he's got a massive, massive ego and thinks, he's worthy of a Hall of Fame candidacy. So that's kind of there is definitely a tension here and a tension there when it comes to that. And he thinks he should be looked at the same way. But the problem is, the brand is not what he would hoped it would be after all these championships. The Bears have a better brand. Obviously the Cowboys have a better brand. The Washington Commanders have a bigger brand. There's even with all the success, the Patriots brand will never probably live up to those kind of tried and true old school brands like the Cowboys. And I think that bums out Mr. Kraft, but that's the truth of it, and that's never sat well with him.
Well, I'm sure his depiction in the Aaron Hernandez FX series will soothe some of those wounds. I'm sure that'll be fine. The brand is back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's you've been really watching? Teddy, you've been watching it at all?
I was told, someone told me that I heard on the radio the other day, some caller called in and said that the guy that plays Bill Belichick, looks like Ted Johnson trying to act like Scott Golak, which is the most random thing ever. I'm like, so I got to see it just to see. He thinks the actor looks like me, does he? Okay,
in the face, like the face, like a little
like an
bit.
Ugly version of you.
The super handsome version that you are right now. No, like that's a really funny analogy. I'll just put it that way. Yeah, you Dude, it's something else, man. Some of the acting choices on this are outstanding. Yeah.
I feel like Bob Kraft.
Go ahead, Seth.
Oh, no, I was saying Bob Kraft in that audition video that he had was a better actor than the guy that was playing Bob Kraft.
Yeah.
I've heard the quality of the show is not that good. And you know what it is, too? I'm sure everybody's just so, okay, enough with the pay. There's been enough things out there about Brady, enough things about Hernandez. I'm kind of like, my cup runneth over. I have no more kind of desire to see any more shows about that. But I heard that's a doozy.
I disagree. I want more. I think if it's like this FX series, I could do it every week. It's so cheesy and bad. It's awesome.
That it's so cheesy and bad that it's good.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
It's like the sitcom Small Wonder back in the day, where you're like, this is so bad, and I cannot stop watching.
Can't take my eyes off of it. It's unbelievable. Teddy, before we cut you loose, obviously you're doing great on the air up there. I know I see you on Instagram and text with you. Kids are great. How the folks? Yeah. Everybody's good, man, because people are asking on the text page, how's Teddy doing?
That's very nice. I miss everyone down there. I really do. Gosh, I wish I had a team to cover like the Texans, but I'm doing great personally. I'm still doing TV. I really enjoy my role on TV. I do pre and post game, and I do a show, just an X's and O's show every Monday on NBC Sports Boston up here. And then getting this morning show, it fits perfectly into my schedule, and really it's something that I can handle. You know, doing a show, God bless you guys, doing it every day, getting up and doing it every day. It's probably not the best for my overall health. And so I just come in here every Monday and Friday and do the morning show, which I've really enjoyed. So it fits perfectly. I got my kids are both in college now, and they're doing great, playing their sports at great schools. And, you know, and I'm doing great with my girlfriend. You guys know Robin. And so everything's really good for me right now. And so I have nothing to complain about. I'm very, very fortunate when you consider where I was at certain points of my life, even there in Houston. So I'm very lucky to be healthy and happy and have good jobs, and that everybody in my life is doing well. So I appreciate you asking, and everybody wondering how I'm doing. I'm doing great, and I appreciate all the support I've gotten from fans in Houston. I was very lucky to do radio there, and I cut my teeth on radio there, and I'll never forget my experiences down there. It was wonderful, and thank you for the support, guys.
Oh, of course,
I feel like I wanted to try to talk you into coming back down here now that your kids are out of the house, but now I feel like, all right, you sound like you're happy. So
I'm doing good, Seth.
Choose
I'm
happiness, good, I suppose, or you could come cover this hot young team.
That's right.
You know what? And I will say this, good for you guys. I've always said this. Anybody that says, my buddies that do radio down there in Houston, all the fans, they deserve a good team. It is a town that loves their Texans. It is a football town and city. We all know that. And obviously, when the time I was there covering that team, it just was, you know, comically bad and just awful. And so where you guys are now, I feel you guys, no town deserves a good team like you guys in the city of Houston. So I'm happy for you guys.
That's awesome. Well, Ted, it's great to hear your voice, man. Glad to see you and hear you doing so awesome. And best of the family. And we will we'll talk again soon, man. Much love. Appreciate you, brother.
I miss you guys, and all the best to you and your family, guys. And we'll talk soon, okay? You all be right. Good.
Sounds good. That is the great Ted Johnson, 3-time Super Bowl winner and our former colleague here at Sports Radio 6 Center. All right, we got to jump out. We went a little over, but it's worth it to talk to Ted. How much do the announcers in Thursday Night Football, Major League Baseball, how much do they affect your enjoyment of the product? Because somebody stood on the table for them yesterday. Another former colleague stood on the table for them. And we'll get to a final preview of the Texans and the Patriots, and we will do that as we head towards the top of the hour. Stay there.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
We'll put the final touches on our Patriots-Texans analysis in the final segment of the show. We'll get you ready with the main storylines for that game. Big thanks to Ted Johnson for jumping on with us. And sounds like things are positively horrible in Patriot Nation right now, according
sounds
to Ted.
Sounds like they're miserable. Yes. But they've got the worst. The worst is not an irate fan base, but an apathetic fan base.
Yes.
I don't like any of it. Honestly, Ted was telling me all of the issues the Patriots have right now, both on the field and off, and not a single part of it made me feel like, oh, yeah, the Texans got this in the bag. Yeah. I don't want to hear any of that.
Okay. Are you going to have a final?
Average deficit in the Texans loss. 18 points in Foxborough.
Yep.
My God.
Seven games, 18 points. Two of those are postseason games. Yeah.
And it, not all of them were Tom Brady either. So, you know.
No.
I take no comfort in that. It's not even a trap game. I don't think anybody on the Texans has taken this team lightly.
No, I don't think so either. I think so. Now, I think people outside the building are taking the Patriots incredibly lightly, including possibly me. But we'll get our predictions in the final segment. You'll have a prediction ready to go. You were spot on with your prediction last week on that.
A lot of pressure on me right now.
A lot of pressure, man. A lot of pressure. Yeah. So, Thursday Night Football last night, the Niners beat the Seahawks. I watched the entire game. I will say this. I come in with no complaints today about the announced team. I thought it was a well-announced game. I didn't listen to any of the Yankees-Royals game. I had that on a separate screen. Didn't have the sound on, but that was a Bob Costas game. I feel like it's an annual ritual where Bob Costas does these games for TBS or whatever, and MLB Network, and he just gets skewered because younger listeners and some older listeners aren't big Bob Costas people.
Well, and partly I'd say it has always felt to me like in those Red Sox games, you could tell very much that his prep for the game is I'm going to read the paper, and like if it was in Boston, it would be a very Boston heavy. The side of it. I can't remember if he did one of the games in Houston, but it just, I've never felt like he actually prepares for these games in the postseason.
Yeah.
It's like he hasn't paid attention to baseball all year and he drops in and he's just being Bob Costas.
So in the spirit of hearing from former colleagues of ours at Sports Radio 610, we just got done talking to Ted Johnson, Nick Wright, who used to sit in this very chair on the morning show here. He's on FS1 now, first things first. He's one of the faces of that network, does a tremendous job. I don't know that I agree with this take, though, that he has. This feels like broadcaster taking up for broadcast. Maybe even a Syracuse guy taking up for another Syracuse guy in Bob Costas. Who knows? But this was Nick Wright yesterday losing his mind over the criticism, largely on social media, that Al Michaels and Bob Costas receive, and probably received last night.
5 hours from now, you know what you're going to do if you check Twitter? Hey, what are people saying about the game? A bunch of 20-something-year-olds saying how much these guys stink. Saying, oh, I don't like this guy. I don't like that guy. Why doesn't he call the game this way? It's Costas and Michaels, you spoiled brats. One of them called the miracle on ice. The other one called Michael Jordan's final game with the Bulls. Between them, they've called 25 Olympics. They're in their 70s. They're spending a Thursday night calling a divisional round game and a Thursday night football game. And all these kids are complaining, being like, here's what I didn't like about it. Shut up! Do you know how lucky I would have been if Howard Cosell would have extended his career that long? I could have watched him. I wouldn't have cared if it's not my style. Enjoy it. You're watching legends at the end of their run. So or just delete your Twitter account. You're going to get on there with your 78 followers and be like, here's why Bob Costas doesn't know what he's Bob Costas.
Nick follower account bullied them.
This is a thing. Nick just turned 40 last week.
Yes.
So I think this was him almost consciously making the decision to become a grumpy old man.
Yes.
So because it's not just 20-somethings. It's people in their 40s and 50s that are maybe they're a little bit more polite about it. But like, all right, these guys have lost their fastball. The baseball, no. As far as it's not just Bob Costas. Baseball's strategy of bringing back old dudes who don't actively follow the game for the playoffs annoys the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel it's disrespectful to the fans.
Yeah.
It's one thing if they're older, but they've been working the Major League Baseball season all year long. These guys, half the time it turns into a discussion about whether or not analytics are good or not. Great, we're doing this. You can't even have, you're having the same sports talk conversations from back when you were relevant. So no, I wholeheartedly reject everything that Nick Wright just said there. And I'll point out that, what did he bring up? Oh, he called Michael Jordan's final game. Oh, his final game in the NBA? No, Michael Jordan's final game with the Bulls.
Yeah.
Not with the Wizards.
Right.
Because you know who nobody really wanted to do was watch Michael Jordan with the Wizards.
Right.
Just like nobody really wants to watch an aging athlete past his prime out there trying to compete against younger men. Likewise, that's the way I feel about announcers. There's a time where they need to be pushed out on the iceberg and left to die.
Yeah.
My God.
No, he called the miracle on ice. Yeah, he was in his 30s. You know, he was really good. He was, you know, like it's, well, let's bring the guys back who played in the miracle on ice and see how they play hockey, you know?
Let's replay the miracle on ice right now with present day Al Michaels and to be like, well, I mean, it's just, listen, remember everybody, this is just the semifinals.
Right.
It's a, they didn't cover and
and Ruzioni scores a goal, and it looks like the Americans are going to beat the Russians.
Boy, but do you believe in improbable things? Because this seemed pretty improbable. What do you think? What do you think, Kirk? I don't know. I don't know where any of these guys played in college. I don't know. Did they even go to college?
Dude,
these Soviet hockey players?
That,
I don't know.
That running joke about Herb Street bringing up everybody's college background is an inferno right now. Like, that's everybody notices. I wonder if he notices the chatter about it.
I didn't watch a lot of the game in real time last night, but I thought when I checked in on it, I felt like Al had a little bit more pep in his step. I don't know.
Yeah, he was fine last night. That's what I said. That's why I prefaced playing that Nick Wright audio with, I didn't have a problem with, and I didn't hear any of the Kostas broadcasts other than the things that wind up. He was waxing poetic about something in the middle of an intense ninth inning. You know,
I also, as a member of sports media, I'm included in this group, but I do like people. I love it when sports writers or commentators get hypersensitive about any kind of criticism of themselves when our entire job is to criticize other people doing their job at an incredibly high level. Yeah.
Correct.
Like, all right, man. Listen, yeah, that comes with the territory. You're living in the public eye. There's going to be criticism.
Yep. All right, let's get you ready for Texans and Patriots in the next segment. Keys to the game. People who won't be there, people who will be there, people who might not be playing in this game. How important are some of these injuries? Is this the only thing that can torpedo the Texans tomorrow? We'll get on the record with our predictions. That is coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, getting you ready. Texans, Patriots. We'll get on the record with what we think is going to happen here. I would say injuries probably one of the bigger angles with this game. I don't know that there's necessarily a positional matchup in this game where I go, aha, if the Patriots win this one, especially after talking to Ted Johnson, I don't know how capable they are of winning any of the positional matchups without major mistakes from the Houston Texans. I mean, it sounds like if we did like the green check marks, you know, Texans on one column and Patriots on another column and went position by position, it's hard to find a side where the Patriots would have the green check mark, you know, the secondary versus receivers on each side and in the trenches, O-line versus D-line going either way, the quarterback matchup in this game, all those things. It feels like it's set up for a game for the Texans to finally win comfortably.
The one thing that Ted had brought up was that the Patriots, you know, really want to run the football. They've looked promising at times, but they just haven't been consistent. The one thing that I think might keep the game closer is if the Patriots are able to run the ball consistently against the Texans defense, and they've allowed a lot of yardage versus the run. They come up big in moments to stop drives, but it's something that D'Amico and others have pointed to that they got to get better at. So I think it could end up if the Patriots are able to do that, it could end up being closer than it should be. And then obviously if the Texans make a bunch of their self-inflicted wounds and all of that, then it could end up really going awry for them. I think this is, if the Texans don't win this game, it's because they specifically lost the game.
I agree.
More so than the Patriots beating them.
Yeah, I agree. There's no team in the NFL that's so bad that you can afford to get away with some of the things the Texans have done in terms of the game staying within reach.
I do think that, and I was really, I was hesitant to really go this route, but the way I see it playing out are a couple things. One is that I think the offense without Nico Collins they're going to be a little bit more diverse in a good way versus a bad football team. And I think the offense is going to look more complete. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to look more like what you want to see out of them. The other thing is that I think the Patriots, like they play a bunch of man And, you know, what have teams been doing against the Texans? They say, like, well, they got Nico Collins. We're just going to sit back and play cover two. And the Patriots play a lot of cover two a lot also, but they also play a lot of cover one and cover zero. They're aggressive at times. I think they look at it and they say, all right, if we're going to beat this team, we got to make some big plays on defense. And they're going to go a risk-reward strategy.
Yeah.
And I think this is where you see a little bit of last year's version of the Texans where they take some shots. I think they're going to have opportunities to take shots downfield and have some big strikes even without Nico Collins. So I'm going to go Texans 34, Patriots 17
okay.
in this one.
34-17, yeah. And that would almost be flipping the margin on its head like you talked about before.
And a lot of it's going to be, look, the Texans, one thing that's been different this year compared to last year is winning the turnover battle. They haven't created a lot of turnovers. They haven't created a lot of takeaways on defense. They've turned CJ's turned the ball over more than he typically does or did last year. I think that flips back around this week, and that's how games really become blowouts is with turnovers, and I think this is the week that it catches up.
How overwhelmed do you think Drake May gets in this game? Against this Texans defense, given all the issues, as Ted pointed out, along the offensive line that the Patriots, they're going to have a really tough time protecting him.
I think it's going to get ugly. Yeah. Look, Caleb Williams had the night that they played the Texans, they were banged up at wide receiver, but he still had more receiving weaponry than Drake May does. And like as Ted had mentioned, you know, Ted's a guy that thinks that, or at least in the past, Ted Johnson was always a guy that thought that, all right, you get drafted in the first round as a quarterback, you should be playing right away. Mm-hmm. Like, none of this. Even Ted is saying Drake May was not ready to start this year. His offense was so remedial in so many ways in college. He was never under center, never even had to make a play call itself because it all came from the sideline, to where now you're trying to ask him to be a complete and total NFL quarterback. And there's a bad situation behind a bad offensive line to do it. I think it gets really ugly for Drake May.
The things I'm intrigued about with the Texans, and some of this is due to injury, if Mixon doesn't play, and if I had to bet, I would bet Mixon doesn't play just because he sounded like somebody in the locker room yesterday that there might be one more week of him.
It sounded like they're still testing things out. Yeah.
We'll know more today. But Dameon Pierce is going to play. Dameon Pierce was a full go at practice. So I am anxious to see how Dameon gets reincorporated and reintroduced into the offense. You know?
And it's one of the biggest wild cards of this season is, man, if you can get a 2022 version of Dameon Pierce, and man, that changes everything.
That's right.
Especially when Joe Mixon comes back.
Right.
So as I've said the entire process through training camp, I hope I'm really wrong about Dameon Pierce. I didn't see what I wanted to see from him in the preseason, and Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans disagree, and I 100% hope I'm dead wrong on that.
Bingo. I hope I'm wrong too. So Seth's got 34-17. I've got 27-13 Texans. Larry in Stafford is here. We'll see what he's got. And Larry wanted to call in after Ted called in. What's going on, Larry? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, Sean Seth? Hey, look, real quick on three rings, man. I'll always be a fan because I remember when Indy Kalu had his first little kids camp over at Rice, and Ted came out, man, and he brought those three rings that he had, one at the Super Bowl, man, and he let my son put them on his fingers, and those things look like boulders on my son's fingers, man, and those kids just ate that up. And Ted has always just been a cool dude, so whenever y'all get him on, man, it's always special to hear how he's doing, man. Him and his boy and his daughter up there in New England or up in the Boston area. Another thing, man, Ted, I'm not falling for that trick, man. I remember every time that my boys and went to New England, they ain't ran our ass up out of Foxborough, man. So I'm not taking this game for granted. I want my boys to come out of there 5-1. The only variable that we need to keep in mind is that it's going to be 55 degrees and possible rain. That brings all kind of other elements into the game that I don't like. But I think CJ opening it up with these wide receivers without Nico should be a lot of fun. Last thing before I let y'all go, it's time that we all just really have a conversation about those Letterman jackets that they wore back in, I think it was 2011 or 2012, when the young J.J. Watt and Antonio went up there to New England with those jackets on. Now everybody wearing Letterman jackets, man. And I have to admit, I loved them things when I saw them in our hall.
Yeah, they kind of ruined the Letterman jacket thing. That would have been a If they had gone up to New England and won that game, it was in 2012, December 10th, 2012. I was there. It was a Monday Night Football game. If they had gone up and won that game, that would have been a big seller in the team store. Instead, I feel like we're finally getting to where, you know, like if you have a bankruptcy, it takes 7 years to erase it from your record, something like that,
yeah.
7 or 8. I feel like we're getting to the extent to where the bankruptcy element of the Letterman jackets is getting erased, and we might be able to sell those in the team store again.
You know what they need to wear? You know what they need to wear to undo whatever damage was done to the Texans organization with those Letterman jackets?
What's that?
They need to all wear hair shirts up there.
Hair shirts?
The old, like, they used to wear, it's like a really rough, uncomfortable fabric that monks and religious people would wear back in medieval times. It's like a constant test, or like basically a way to punish themselves for their sins or what
yes,
have you.
That's what
they need to do. They need to show up in matching hair shirts.
Hair shirts. Larry is right. I had not bothered to look at the weather. Maybe that's probably a sign of maybe the biggest sign that I'm taking the Patriots very lightly, as I haven't even looked at the weather. He's right. High of 55, 40% chance of rain on Sunday. Does that do anything for you?
55 just sounds so nice. Yeah, that's not cold. It's nice. You don't get tired. 40, high 40s, low 50s, or mid 50s. Yeah, you can run all day. You don't get tired way that. So I'm cool. As long as it's not a windy driving rain or something, I'm not that worried about that.
No, I'm not either.
Although, you know what, CJ, small sample size, but both in practice and in the Jets game, CJ hasn't been so hot with, and not to mention the time last year when the center was sweating on the ball too much.
Michael Dieter.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. CJ's, he might be a little bit of a Wicked Witch of the West there or something.
Oh,
I don't know. Whichever creature doesn't like water.
The Wicked Witch of the West does not like water. She melted. She disappeared.
Ewoks also. Ewoks don't what? No, not Ewoks.
Gremlins.
What am I thinking of?
Gremlins. Ewoks.
Oh, no. Yeah. Gremlins is light, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
No. Gremlins, the thing that turns into the gremlin, they don't like water. Mugwump or whatever they are.
Yeah.
Ewoks helped liberate the entire galaxy in Return of the Jedi, Episode 6. We owe a big...
I don't ever recall him seeing doing it on a rainy day.
No, that's fair. It was very sunny on whatever the planet was. You're right. Yavin or whatever. That's John Lopez. That's Reginald Atatula.
What
gentlemen,
up?
How are we doing?
Fantastic. So you're saying C.J. Stroud's not a mutter.
He's not a mutter. No, he's
a mugwai. He's a mugwai. Yeah,
now you got me worried.
Mutter's not a mutter. Yeah. Fodder's not
his
a mutter.
His mutter's not a mutter.
Yeah, mutter's not a mutter, yeah.
Yeah.
But I hadn't realized that. Does that affect you at all in this game?
Until y'all started talking about the rain
games. I didn't
even
bother looking until Larry brought it up, man. Yeah. So we had Ted on a little bit earlier.
I heard.
It sounds like they're experiencing what we experienced like back in 2021.
Oh, that's a shame.
2022. That's what Seth said that directly to Ted. Seth's like, it's too bad. That was funny. But yeah, he made me even more overconfident than I already am for this game. How you guys feeling as we head
pretty, pretty damn confident for this game, man.
Yeah.
In fact, so confident that I think at 10:20 we're going to try and make sure that we're not getting too confident.
Oh, really?
We're going to stop down and make sure that we're not
tamp it back a little bit.
We're going to evaluate ourselves and make sure we're not going too hard on this.
Did y'all see Mixon's comments in the locker room after practice? I'm sure you guys have them. You're going to play them.
Yeah.
Not to steal from your show, but do you read into what he said and how he said it and his body language as he's playing this weekend or? We'll see you in Green Bay.
He's absolutely playing this weekend.
You think he's playing?
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
He's absolutely playing this weekend.
Okay.
You think that was just gamesmanship, him acting
Well,
like
I think he kind of gave it away early. He says, of course I want to be out there.
Right. Well,
you know,
sure.
Yeah,
you
want to
be out there.
But the way he said it, it's the Sean Pendergast body language, like, hey.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be out there.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, it's a Sean Pendergast body language read something totally different. That's the thing.
Well,
it's the theory on the body language, I guess, because we're seeing it differently. So you think he's definitely playing. What do you think?
Yeah,
I
go the other way, man. I'm not certain on that.
Yeah?
Yeah, we might see a good healthy heaping of Damian Pierce in this one.
I'm anxious to see how they reincorporate Damian into this thing.
You and me both, man.
I'm nervous, Lopez. I'm nervous that you're in this moment. You're being that guy that's like, she totally wants me. Just see it. And like, meanwhile, like she's leaning away from you and her bar stool.
She's
and
mouthing
and
help
like,
me
ah.
to the bartender.
Lopez,
boy,
like,
she's undressing me with her eyes.
You know what's funny about that? You know what's funny about that? And there might be some truth to that. I just, not even an hour and a half ago, took the online training for sexual harassment.
That guy's
a
creep.
Oh, Daryl. Oh, my God, Daryl. This dude was one of the creepiest guys we've had in these online Daryl was the worst. HR thing.
Daryl was the worst.
He was horrible.
Yeah.
Who's Daryl?
Oh,
Daryl's the guy who wouldn't stop asking out his coworker. would not stop asking his coworker out, no matter how many times. She said, "Oh, I've got a boyfriend. I'm in a relationship." And then next day, he overhears her talking to a friend about how she doesn't have a boyfriend.
That was
he's like, "Oh," and then he confronts her on it. So turns out you don't have a boyfriend. Huh? How about you and I do some things that HR doesn't approve of?
I guess we can have that dinner. Like, she's like, "What? Like, it's that dinner to you. I don't want to go on anything." Yeah,
I can't. The whole time I'm watching any of these HR videos, I'm like, "Oh my God, this is based on things that actually happened."
Yeah.
Who are you?
That's always the wild thing. Yeah. Whenever you get some level of notice or advisory or sign out in public, and you're just like, "Somebody did something."
Yes.
To
who's the jerk in Topeka that harassed the receptionist?
Daryl. Is
Daryl.
That's right. They used real names. That's actually his name.
I'm just always happy to learn that other people are being made to take these tests and not just me.
So anyway, maybe I am biased with the Joe Mixon because I just watched it. I'm like, he's playing.
Yeah.
he wants me.
A word, you called it the Pendergast theory and you think he's playing. All right. We are done. Seth, 9 a.m. Sunday, Texans countdown, antibodies, and I will see you there.
Wait a second. Lopez, so when you were watching Daryl time after time ask that poor woman out, was there a part of you that was like, well, I mean, she's kind of putting out a vibe?
He was very happy about Daryl's resilience. He was like, Daryl's doing a great job right now.
She never flat out said, "Stay away from me, please."
You know, you're not wrong.
Yeah. Is this an HR video on persistence?
That's right.
Because that's what I'm gleaning from this right now.
Don't ask, don't get.
Man.
The worst they can do is say no 7 times. Yeah. All right. We're done. Seth, antibodies, see you on Sunday, my friend.
Oh, antibodies and clean, legal. Don't get yourself in any situation.
Yes. Get into consensual relationships, all right?